Newsmakers on In Depth with Francis Rose.
Gene Sexton is the Deputy Chief Human Capital Officer at the Labor Department.
Getting away from those KSA essays, which that was the hard part, has taken the whole hiring process from a writing exercise with reams of paper to one where you have verifiable data, such as resumes and transcripts and other types of documentation that can be verified or not verified. And you get a more quality recruit when you can have that kind of documentation.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.
Cisco is the official sponsor of federalnewsradio.com. The Cisco Center at federalnewsradio.com is your resource for cloud computing, data center security, and collaboration strategy and solutions. This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what is good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with our favorite uncle. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Scott Dennison. Scott is the CEO of the Scott Group of Virginia, and you can find him at scottgroupva.com. Scott, welcome to the show, man.
Mark, good morning. Good to be back with you.
And it's been a while, and it won't be too long next time. Let's start off with some background on Scott Dennison, please.
Be happy to.
You did a little bit of time back with Uncle Sam in a couple of capacities.
I did. I was blessed. I had a wonderful career. I started out at the Small Business Administration at SBA. I worked in every program office. I worked at headquarters. I worked in a regional office. Started the branch office in Fort Worth, Texas. Came back, and best job I ever had at SBA was when we started the Breakout PCR program, where we were looking for the $400 hammers and $800 toilet seats at DOD back in the mid 80s. And that was a great program. And the whole idea there was we're buying piece parts for major weapon systems,
right,
from the OEMs. The OEMs didn't manufacture them. And if we could drill down and figure out who the actual manufacturers were and we get competition, invariably it was small businesses, and invariably we saved the government money. We got to the point where we were saving several hundred million dollars a year just by breaking down those piece parts to major weapon systems, and that was great. And then from there, I had the opportunity to go to the Department of Veterans Affairs, had the pleasure of running the small business programs there for 20 years, and was there at the right time because that's when, if you remember, after Desert Storm, Desert Shield,
yep,
it was sexy to be a veteran again.
Yep.
And Congress established a commission called the Commission on Veterans and Service Members Transition Assistance. Had the pleasure of serving on that commission for a year. Wrote the recommendations to Congress that now have started what is the veteran small business program at the federal level. So I was blessed. And then 2 years ago, decided it was time to go do new opportunities and retired from the federal government and started my own consulting company, Scott mm-hmm. Group of Virginia, where I work with small businesses and do what I call strategic business development, helping right. them break in to the federal market, expand, those kinds of things. The other thing that we started last summer, myself and six very successful veteran-owned small businesses, is an organization called the National Veteran Small Business Coalition. And our goal there is to be a true trade association for veteran-owned businesses as opposed to an advocacy organization. And we want to be the honest broker between the federal government and large business and the veteran small business community. And we're real excited about the direction that that's going in. So life is fun right now.
How many members does the coalition have?
We've got 70 paid members right now, and okay. we have five prime contractors okay. that are corporate members. And I hope we get a chance later on to talk about our national training symposium that we're going to do
yeah.
in Reno in two weeks.
We're definitely getting there.
Good. So so we've got a lot going on, so we're excited.
2 weeks away?
2 weeks away.
Ah, okay. Then yeah, we're definitely going to hit that. all right, so how long were you in the OSDBU position?
I was the OSDBU at VA for 20 years.
Okay, 20. I've written about this. You and I have both spoken about this. but there are a great deal of misconceptions when it comes to what an OSDBU is and what it can do, especially on the part of those who are going in for their first visit. So let's touch bases. First of all, you know, what are some of the mistakes that some of the companies make when they're coming in for their first visit?
I think a lot of times small businesses have unrealistic expectations about what the role and responsibility of the OSDBU office is. The OSDBU office is not your marketing arm. One of the things that I instilled at VA that I think was very, very important was my job was to be your small business advocate within the department. So we would work with contracting officers. We would train them and explain what the programs were, what the agency's responsibilities are to the small business community. And we worked very hard to ensure that contracting officers and program officials supported the small business programs. But by that, I mean, once we had an instant acquisition that a program office and a contracting office agreed would be a set aside, whether it was a service disabled vet set aside, an 8A set aside, a hub zone set aside, didn't matter what category, my job was done. It was not my job to market a particular company. Because in my opinion, where agencies go wrong is where they focus in on one company. They don't let competition bring the best ideas and the best competition and the best price to the federal government. So the other issue is in this world, as you know, of best value contracting, people in OSDBU offices can't be experts in everything. And just think at VA, we're buying pharmaceuticals. We're buying construction. We're buying IT services. We're buying security services. No way I can be the program manager expert on all those issues. So it's not my job to pick the particular company that's going to get the award. My job, again, as I said, is to get program officials and contracting officers to support and use those mechanisms that we have in the government to support small businesses.
Okay. So I'm a small business veteran going to VA or any OSDBU. What's the first thing that I should do to prepare for my visit?
I would say it's two things. Number one, do your homework on the agency. Find out what our mission is. Find out what we're responsible for. Find out what our issues are. The more you know about VA or any other federal agency as a potential market, the more you can focus in your strengths and your capabilities with what the needs are of the agency. Because other than the Small Business Administration, no agency of the federal government is in business to support small business. We all have very specific, unique missions. And our goal is to support that mission. Now, we do that by using the capabilities and the capacities of the small business community. But we don't know what that is unless you do your market research, figure out where you can fit in to our world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most federal agencies are huge organizations with huge procurement budgets and the billions of dollars and thousands of contracting officers. OSDBU offices can't possibly know everything that's going on in their agency. So the more you know about us, the better it is. The other thing that small businesses need to do is when you come in, know what you do. Know what sets you apart from your competitors. Know what your niche is. And then if you can do that succinctly, we have a better opportunity to match you with the needs of the mission of the agency.
Okay. Now, I've seen packets of information that companies prepare to leave with the OSDBU. And some of these packets of information run to the pounds. What is your advice on a leave behind for these types of visits?
My recommendation is a one pager. Whether it's an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper like this or a trifold.
Mm-hmm.
Because the idea is you want to leave something that 3 months from now is going to, I'm going to remember when a program official comes to me and says, hey, do you have a small business that can do X, Y, Z? I've seen, like you, ones that run into pounds. And quite frankly, they go into a file cabinet. Whether it's square or round, it's still a file cabinet.
Right.
And, you know, we do have these rules in the government about paperwork reduction and how long we keep files.
Right.
So, yeah. And the other thing that I see a lot of small businesses do today is do discs. Well, you know, I'm not the most computer literate guy in the world, and I'd much rather have a piece of paper that I can keep on my desk than a shiny little round thing that I got to stick into a machine and I've got to take time away from what I'm doing. So very simple, very succinct. Again, what you need to put on there, your name, your contact information, core capabilities, and who are some of the people that you've done work for and had success with.
Okay, maybe your contracts if you have any.
Exactly, particularly if you have contract vehicles, whether it's GWACs, federal supply schedules.
About your CCR information? Would it be important to include your NAICS codes?
I think it is because, again, that helps kind of narrow. But one of the problems that most of us have in the government, if we're doing market research, NAICS codes are too broad. We're looking to get more of a narrow focus. That's
right.
Why I like keywords, bullets that really hone in on what you do.
Okay, cool. My guest today is Scott Dennison, CEO of the Scott Group of Virginia. When we come back, we are going to pursue other issues impacting the veteran small business community. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The possibility of an invisibility cloak is a step closer to reality. Engineers are now able to fabricate large pieces of a material with very unique properties. Engineers like John Rogers at the University of Illinois are creating so-called metamaterials, structured to play tricks with light.
The hope is that you could engineer a material like that to bend light in such a way that it sort of moves around an object and creates a level of invisibility.
Until now, those structures have been vanishingly small themselves, but Rogers has devised a way to print large sheets of a promising metamaterial
so that you can create enough of it that you can begin to think about engineering applications of these structures.
Rogers says more work is needed for an invisibility cloak, but this new printing method may already allow advances in communication and imaging systems. For more, go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
The website of the week is the Google Transparency Report. Now, this site includes an interactive map so you can click on different countries. The Chinese officials consider censorship demands to be state secrets, so we cannot disclose that information at this time. This can show traffic patterns. If a country blocks internet access, you can immediately see this. You can see if any countries are blocking internet traffic. The Google Transparency Report.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Government personnel must continue to achieve mission-critical objectives no matter their work environment. Video conferencing technologies provide a highly effective collaboration solution for federal employees affected by budget cuts, BRAC initiatives, and telework mandates if they are secure based on open standards and deployable in limited bandwidth environments. Polycom is the first video provider to have an ultimate HD portfolio that is JITC certified, offering real-time face-to-face communication without compromising secure networks or consuming excessive bandwidth. Polycom enables government customers to collaborate over voice and video anywhere, anytime, securely both inside and outside the firewall, offering high-definition video calls at half the bandwidth of other companies. To learn more, visit polycom.com/federal.
The Telework Center arms you with all the information you need to know about teleworking in the federal government. Go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Polycom.
Attention employees of the intelligence community and Department of Defense. Right now, you could be eligible for affordable term life insurance from GEBA, the Government Employees Benefit Association, with coverage issued by Prudential. Learn more about this important benefit for government employees at GEBA.com or call 1-800-826-1126. Group term life coverage for GEBA is issued by the Prudential Insurance Company of America, 751 Broad Street, Newark, New Jersey, 07102, contract series 83500.
Mobile technology is revolutionizing government. Learn what strategies are being adopted to help citizens and federal agencies access information on the go at AFSEA Bethesda's Executive Breakfast, June 23rd, at the Bethesda North Marriott. Hear from Gwen Costin of the GSA, Lieutenant Colonel Anmi Torres of DISA, and other federal leaders as they discuss application development, cultural hurdles, and the security implications of the ongoing mobile revolution. To register, visit AFSEABethesda.org.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Scott Dennison. Scott is the CEO of the Scott Group of Virginia. You can find him at scottgroupva.com. You can also find you at Facebook and Twitter.
Right, and LinkedIn also.
Okay, your LinkedIn profile, certainly. Scott Dennison, D-E-N-N-I-S-T-O-N. Not the only one there, but he's the only one who's the chairman and CEO of the Scott Group. What's your Facebook group? You have a group for the conference there? Is that
no,
right?
We've got a group for the National Veteran Training Symposium,
okay.
Which is the training conference that the National Veteran Small Business Coalition is hosting in Reno, June 27th through the 30th.
Okay, so on Facebook, you search for National
Veteran Training Symposium.
Bingo. Okay, so let's go back to the I am a veteran. I want to start a business. I want to do business with the government. What are my initial steps here?
Let me start off, if I can, Mark, with a horror story.
Okay,
if you will, because
I think
this is important. A couple months ago, I got a call from a young Air Force vet who had just gotten out of the Air Force at Patrick Air Force Base, south of Cape Kennedy. And the guy in his mid-30s had been in the Air Force for 15 years, decided to get out, was married, had a couple of kids, and had gone to some event down in Florida for transitioning military people getting out. And one of the speakers talked about the world of entrepreneurship. And talked about how great it is to be a veteran small business owner these days. And said, if you're a veteran and you start a small business, the government owes you a contract. So when he got out of the service, he and his wife moved into a house that was her parents' house that the parents gave them free and clear. The parents wanted to leave Florida, moved to North Carolina where it was a little cooler. And this young Air Force vet had used the house as collateral for the business, and he started an IT business. Who doesn't start IT businesses
right
today? And what happened was he went out and did all those things you shouldn't do starting out. He got office space. He bought furniture. He bought equipment. He bought a car, all with the collateral from the house for the business loan he got. And then he started marketing to the federal agencies, and he said, hey, I was told that you owe me a contract because I'm a vet. And as you know, every one of them said to him, that's not the way it works. And he called me in desperation. I'm losing the house. My wife's ready to divorce me. He said, I was sold a bill of goods. What do I do? And, you know, it was really a heart-wrenching story because here was a young kid who had served our country, done everything that he was told to do, got some bad information, and now is going down the tubes. So I called some folks that I know in Florida, and we got him some small bridge contracts, but I haven't heard from him in the last couple of months. I don't know if he's still hanging on. Don't know about the divorce situation.
Hopefully he's busy enough to save.
To save.
Until he learns.
I hope so.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's no guarantees here.
There's no guarantees, but, you know, there's a story in there. There's a lot of people out there who intentionally or unintentionally give out bad information when it comes to doing business with the government. Some intentional, I just, you know, really like to put them against a wall and just, you know, wave goodbye. But others are repeating myths that have no basis. So please, buyer beware. And, you know, some due diligence on the front end. And never, never buy office space before you have a contract. You can work out of your house.
Exactly.
I've been doing it for 27 years.
Hey, most of us do. And, you know, most of us finance our businesses with credit cards getting started.
Yeah.
Because you're right. You can be smart about starting a small business. Now, if you are a veteran, one of the beauties in today's world, and again, it goes back to Desert Storm, Desert Shield, and now it's okay to be a veteran in American society today, as opposed to what those of us that are Vietnam era vets faced 30 years ago. So that's the good news. There's a lot of resources. The Small Business Development Centers, funded by the SBA, I think are great places to start because they will work with you to develop a business plan. They will help you be realistic. One of the other programs that I love that SBA has through the SCORE chapters generally is a pre-business workshop. And it's where you go in for a day and you really learn what it's like to be a business owner, because unfortunately, a lot of people have this notion that being a small business owner, I only have to work part-time and I'm going to be making six figures. They don't understand that.
I can dispel that notion.
They don't understand if you're a small business, you're married to that small business. You're working 80 hours a week and you may not be making any money for the first.
My family was irritated with me because we were in England two summers ago and I'd be tapping into the office computer every day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah. I love having my iPad on the beach, though. There are some advantages. But you take advantage of those resources that are available. To be successful in business, you need access to basically three things: capital, management, and markets. Capital, times are tough because of the economy the way it is.
Yep.
But again, if you go and you talk to the folks at SBA with the Patriot Express program, which is a loan program specifically for veteran-owned small businesses, they've got some flexibility on what they can do for loans for vets. Again, SBA has great management assistance programs through their partners, the Small Business Developments, the SCORE chapters. If you're thinking about the federal government, because the third thing you need to be successful in business, I would argue, is a market. And the federal government is the largest buyer of goods and services in the world. But you got to keep in mind that in spite of the 1,800 pages of the federal acquisition regulations, business is about relationships.
Yep.
And it takes time to build relationships. When I get a new client that comes to me and says, I want help breaking into VA or GSA or Homeland Security or any of the other agencies that I know, I tell them, I said, you have to understand from the day that we begin work until the time that you have money coming in, maybe 18 months. And that's not unusual.
You know the American Express study, right? Have I sent that to you?
Yes.
Yeah. So 19 and a half months.
Yeah. So,
and that's for companies that do it right.
Right. And so this is not a quick get rich quick scheme. And you've got to be ready for that journey. This is a journey. And the beauty, though, of the federal government is that think about the fact that government spends somewhere between $600-700 billion a year, depending on whose numbers you want to use. But year in and year out, 20% of those dollars are awarded to small businesses as prime contractors. And think about the fact that another 20% is awarded to small businesses as subcontractors to the large businesses that do business with the federal government. So one way or the other, that's 40% of that $600-700 billion that small businesses successfully get. But I would argue that the smart small businesses understand that even working with NASA, this isn't rocket science.
Right.
There is a process that you have to follow. And it's doing your market research and learning your potential customers and what they're buying. Not only learning what they're buying, but what are the contract vehicles that they use that are their preferred vehicles. It's identifying the cycles of the contracting process and when contracts are going to come up for renewal. It's learning who the competitors are. It's learning are those competitors or those incumbents that are doing contracts now. Are they well-regarded or are they lousy? The hardest thing to do in contracting, as you know, is unseat a happy incumbent.
Well, yeah, but, you know, you may not know Bob Davis. He has a phrase that I love: market share is rented, not owned.
Oh, absolutely. So. That's true. And, you know, that for the winners, that's a good thing to remember.
Yep.
And Bob's a great BD guy. No question about that. Known him for a number of years. But it's following a process. And if you follow the process, you can be successful. How do you know that? Because everybody else has done it. One of the things for vets, you know, not everybody wants to be in the federal marketplace. And one of the best programs that I had the pleasure of being involved in when I was at VA was with the International Franchise Association called VetFran.
Yeah.
And what we were able to do is we were able to reach out to franchisors using the IFA, and they would offer discounts to veterans that they wouldn't offer to non-vets. Now, think about the fact that if you believe SBA statistics, the most successful way to run a small business in the United States is franchising. Why? It's a proven system.
It's a package.
Thank you. And if you follow the system, you'll be successful. What did we learn in the military? Get up, get dressed, and follow a system. It's simple. And franchisors love veterans because veterans have the discipline, the stick-to-itiveness, and the ability to work in teams that it's absolutely critical in any business that you're going to be in.
Okay. We're going to pick that up. My guest today is Scott Dennison, CEO of the Scott Group of Virginia. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about, I think, one of our favorite subjects, which is the power of networking. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. CDWG, the people who get it.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. What does three decades of service add up to? For the Capital Area Food Bank, it includes these important numbers. Distributing 25 million pounds of food to nearly 500,000 people through a network of 700 partner agencies. 30 years, it's a long time. But the mission continues to make sure that no one is left hungry. To learn more, contribute, or volunteer, visit CapitalAreaFoodBank.org.
Stress. Sometimes a little of it can be a good thing. It can motivate and inspire us. But most of the time, stress is not our friend. Work stress can cause depression, headaches, sleep problems. It can increase your risk of disease and on-the-job injury. At Kaiser Permanente, we believe that stress is serious business. Because when employees are stressed, everyone suffers. So we promote programs that help employees deal with the demands of work and home in healthy ways. Like stress breaks, workplace yoga, stress relief classes, and more. It's a total health approach. That's what Kaiser Permanente does for employers that choose us. Provides tools for companies to keep employees healthy, less stressed, and more productive. Find out how a Kaiser Permanente plan can help your employees and your business thrive. Go to kp.org/thrive9to5.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
Why were the roads shut down around the Pentagon after last Friday's incident involving a Marine Corps Lance Corporal?
Based on the fact that he had fled from the Fort Myers Police Department, that he wasn't forthcoming with his information as far as identifiers and then just what he was doing, and he did have some products with him, that's why we felt that it was appropriate to close these roadways down.
U.S. Park Police spokesman David Schlosser.
Jonathan Malaku claimed he had explosives. His car was found near the Pentagon. I'm J.J. Green.
Solar activity, which causes geomagnetic storms in space, can impact everything. From over-the-horizon radar, often used for aircraft and missile launches from a long distance away, to submarine detection systems, to two things we've come to rely on, our cell phones and GPS. Airink has developed a space environmental impact tool that advises, before it happens, what will be affected by bad weather in space. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
Some people can't imagine how someone who is blind or has other significant disabilities contributes to our economy. But more than 47,000 Ability One employees fulfill federal contracts, providing quality goods and services. Some people think that jobs for those who are blind or have other significant disabilities cost taxpayers. Ability One creates job opportunities without additional cost to federal taxpayers. Some think these individuals can't achieve independence. We know better. What do you think? Find out more at AbilityOne.org.
Profile America, Monday, June 20th. One of nature's displays of power brings out an almost universal fear. Lightning. As it blazes across the sky, accompanied with thunderous booms, it makes most people feel vulnerable and helpless. While not much can be done to lessen the fear, there are some common sense steps we can take to lessen the potential danger. That's why this is Lightning Safety Awareness Week, sponsored by the National Weather Service. The goal is to educate people about the danger of lightning and to reduce the number of deaths caused by strikes each year. Nationally, deaths from lightning average up to 40 annually, but have reached 80 or more. You can find these and more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Scott Denniston, CEO of the Scott Group of Virginia. You can go to his website, but it's still under construction. So find Scott. Hook up with him at LinkedIn. Scott Denniston, D-E-N-N-I-S-T-O-N. Look for the one that's the CEO of the Scott Group of Virginia. You can also find him on Facebook or Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
Twitter is just Scott.
Just Scott. Okay, there you go. All right. So, I first ran across you in a very weird way. I got a call from the back of an auditorium. Somebody was down in Richmond listening to you speak, and you were on stage holding up my first book saying, I have no clue who this guy is, but you got to buy this book. The first line of that book is, this market, any market, is all about relationships. I'm convinced that's the only word or the only sentence you read in the book, and you knew it had to be okay. So let's. Why do you think that relationships are key here?
Think about the fact that any business, no matter what you do, you're not unique, meaning that there's other people who do the same thing that you do. And as I mentioned in the beginning of our discussion here, in spite of the 1,800 pages of the federal acquisition regulations, program managers and contracting officers in the government do business with people they know and trust. I mean, that's just human nature.
Yeah.
I'm not going to commit to doing business with you unless I know you and I know that you've got the same value proposition that I do. And here's one thing that I think business people don't think about enough. People that work in the government are very committed generally to the mission of the agency.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can guarantee you that the 220,000 people that work at VA, we were all committed to helping vets. We have huge missions. We don't have the resources necessary to do everything that we would want to do. So we have limited resources. We have a huge mission. And quite frankly, people working in government don't work in organizations that reward failure. And one of the sad things, personal opinion, in the government today is we have more people doing oversight than we have people doing the work. When you look at all the budget people and the program people, you look at the inspector generals, you look at the general accounting office, you look at OMB. Again, we got more people. So we have people in the government that are incredibly risk adverse. And you've never seen somebody rewarded on the front page of the Washington Post for screwing up in the government. So huge risks, and people in the government, for all those reasons, are risk adverse. So
what you might see on the front page of the Post is somebody getting reamed for doing something the way they were supposed to.
Amen. Amen. So one of the things that small businesses have to keep in mind, and I tell my clients, when you're sitting across the table from a potential customer at the government, the one question that they're asking themselves that you need to be able to answer is, what's in it for me? Why should I give you an opportunity, given the risks associated with working with any new vendor? So again, human nature is we do business with people that we know and trust. That's why networking is so critical. And understanding that small businesses have limited business development budgets, they have limited marketing budgets. One of the guys that we both know, Sid Jaffe, Advantage Consulting down in Annandale, one of the things I love about Sid is the way he teaches business development is you may have a business development staff, but everybody that's employed by your company is your BD staff, because those are the people that are interfacing with the customers and the potential customers every day. They're the ones that are your first impression. So that people have to understand that the more that you can network and the more that you get people thinking that they have a stake in the future of your company, so they're going to work harder for you, the better off you're going to be. That's why organizations like AFC, Armed Forces Communications Electronics Association, organizations like NDIA, National Defense Industries of America, National Contract Management Association, here around Washington world, if you're a small business, American Small Business Coalition, all great organizations, because you get an opportunity outside the office environment to interface with government and prime contractor people.
Yeah, and I could not agree more. First line of the first book, I repeat it in Selling to the Government. I teach it in virtually, preach it everywhere I go. Relationships are absolutely critical, but it has to be with the right people. So another, go back to our buddy Bob Davis. He's got, for the small businesses, the 2-2-2 theory. You focus on two agencies, you focus on two primes, and you focus on two other small business partners. If you broaden your search, especially if you're new, if you broaden your reach beyond that, you're not going to be focusing on anything.
So true. And that's why, Mark, I'd argue that probably one of the most important steps is your market research, so that you're not wasting time trying to market to somebody who has no interest or need for your product or service.
Or has no history of using veteran-owned businesses.
That's true, unfortunately.
There are a couple of agencies.
Yes.
Not many, mercifully, but, you got to know where you're left.
Yeah. And what's funny about veterans, and I think it's part of our psyche, is that I'll have clients that will be working four doors, and three of them open, but they want to spend all their time on that door that's closed, because that's the veteran mentality. We're going to take that hill at any cost. But there is a cost to that. And the cost is you're forgetting about these three doors that are partially open,
yeah,
that are going to be a lot easier as a business owner to open up than this one that's closed. And I have the hardest time sometimes with clients getting them to move from that one that's closed to those three that are open.
Well, the other factor there, if it's partially open, if you're doing business in one or two offices in an agency that has, say, 40 offices, so if you have a little piece of agriculture, hello.
Absolutely.
It's big.
Yes. Yes.
They're everywhere.
You're right.
So, all right. So, power of networking. Teaming. Give me a little bit on how a not a brand new company, but a company that has a little bit of experience now, how should they go about starting their teaming arrangements?
The two things to keep in mind about teaming, in my opinion. One is nobody's going to put you on a team unless you bring something to the table. And that is a unique capability or capacity that you have, or an entree into a potential market.
Or both.
That's gold. That's gold. The other thing to keep in mind is that teaming is like a marriage. You really have to do your due diligence to make sure that the team that you want to enter into, or the company that you want to enter into, has the same value set that you do and thinks the same way that you do and has the same ethics that you do. Because that's where teaming tends to fall apart. Everybody's excited at what I call the engagement phase of this before they get started. But once you get into the performance part of the contract, that's where teams tend to fall apart because they didn't figure it out in the beginning. The other thing I think is so important is put down on paper in black and white what the roles and responsibilities of each party are going to be in this teaming arrangement. So that 2 years, 3 years down the road, you've got a roadmap to go back to that says, this is what we've committed to. We haven't changed that. So this is what I need to do as part of the team.
Okay, cool. My guest today is Scott Dennison. Scott's the CEO of the Scott Group of Virginia. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the National Veteran Training Symposium. And we're going to start right now by just giving out the URL, NationalVeteranTrainingSymposium.com. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
And now Ask the CIO, brought to you by Vion Corporation.
Luke McCormack is the CIO of the Immigration and Customs Enforcement. He says ICE is changing the way it interacts with and its expectations of IT contractors.
We want our vendor community, large and small, to position themselves and kind of know over time that's how you're going to see the ask come out of this agency, is more small, refined, very calculated, so that we can have that time to market that we're so interested in having.
CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
It's the only program of its kind in the world. A unique opportunity to help strengthen our country's defense and further your career. The National Defense Executive MBA at George Mason University's School of Management. The only executive MBA degree tailored to developing leaders and managers in the U.S. defense industry. A unique combination of high-caliber executive business education, defense industry specific knowledge, and hands-on learning designed to accelerate your career in the military, government, and corporate defense sectors. All without the career interruption of a traditional degree. Learn more at som.gmu.edu/defense. That's som.gmu.edu/defense. Do it today, because the last day to apply for the fall semester is July 15th. The National Defense Executive MBA at George Mason University, helping our country's defense, advancing your career.
With vacation time just around the corner, Ackerman Security can help keep families like yours safe and secure. For just $18.95 a month, trust in the protection of Ackerman's nationally certified monitoring center and switch your existing system at no cost and that great $18.95 rate. And Ackerman is the only company with a guaranteed response time. Federal government employees get an added bonus. 4 months of monitoring free. Call 888-999-1070 or AckermanSecurity.com.
Do you know the difference between virtualization and cloud computing? Are you clear on the truth and myths surrounding virtualization and what federal managers need to know now and for the future? Tune in on Wednesday, June 22nd at 1 p.m. to hear those questions answered by industry experts and government leaders from the Census Bureau, USPS, and the Recovery Accountability and Transparency Board. That's Wednesday, June 22nd at 1 p.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, sponsored by Microsoft and Citrix.
For over 40 years, Mantech employees have been solving complex problems for the national security community. Whether they're providing secure satellite communications to the Department of Defense or investigating threats in cyberspace for intelligence agencies, their work is distinguished by high ethical standards and a deep commitment to their customers' success. They've created a culture that encourages individuals to bring innovative ideas and technology to those charged with protecting the homeland. Due to the high demand for Mantech skills and expertise, they have tremendous career opportunities for cleared, highly skilled IT professionals, security experts, intelligence analysts, engineers, and technicians. In 2010, Mantech was selected for Fortune Magazine's 100 Fastest Growing Companies list, named a top 10 best employer for veterans by Military Times Edge Magazine, and for the fourth year in a row, was selected as a top 10 military-friendly employer by GI Jobs Magazine. Apply for openings today at mantech.com/careers. That's mantech.com/careers. Mantech is an equal opportunity employer.
How can government executives drive performance in a cutback climate? What are the latest best practices for tackling today's human capital challenges? Join OPM Director John Berry and hundreds of federal managers to learn how to achieve more with less at Excellence in Government, July 11th. Register today for early bird rates, www.excelgov.com, www.excelgov.com.
This is Mark Amtower. I've been advising contractors for almost 30 years, and when they need agency contacts, I always recommend Carroll's GovSearch. With over 350,000 contact listings and over 1,000 government organization charts, they help you find the people you need to reach in all levels of government. Give them a try. Get a free organization chart and a sample listing from their database. Contact Gordon Peel at 703-757-8228. Carroll Publishing, bringing government to you like no other.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Scott Dennison. Scott's the CEO of the Scott Group of Virginia. You are also one of the organizers of the National Veteran Training Symposium, which you can find at National Veteran Training Symposium. It's veterantrainingsymposium.com. What is it?
Good question, Mark. What our goal is for the vets that have been familiar with the National Veteran Conference, the one that was used to be in Las Vegas every year, and in my opinion, was one of the most successful small business conferences in the country. VA has taken that over exclusively and has moved it to New Orleans. And one of the challenges is that conference had gotten so large that it was really difficult to do some real good hands-on training.
Right.
And one of the things that we keep hearing in the veteran advocates keep hearing about the veteran business community from the contracting folks at the government is veterans don't know how to be business owners. They don't know how to work with the federal agencies because it's one of the newest programs in the small business world in the federal government. So our goal is to really have an in-depth training program so that when veterans come in the door on Monday afternoon, from the time they leave on Thursday night, that they will have learned things that will make them better business owners, better managers of people, and also better better customers to do business with. So that's our goal, is to have some real hands-on training. So we've got the first day, we're going to have two different tracks. We're going to have a track for novice businesses in the federal marketplace where we're going to talk about, do you need a GSA schedule? If so, why? What's the process to go through it? We're going to talk about market research and what are the tools that are available out there to help you narrow down your focus as to what agencies or prime contractors you need to focus on. Mm-hmm. Then we're also going to have a track for mature businesses. And there we're going to talk things like, what kind of accounting systems do you need to survive a DCEA audit? What happens when DCEA comes in? We're going to have some topics talking about different financing issues and financing avenues that are outside of the general banks and lending institutions that we think of, alternative financing. We're going to also talk about things like personnel issues and how you retrain and attract good employees. Then the second day, what we're going to do is we're going to break down in the industry lines. So we're going to have a track for the IT community. We're going to have a track for the construction AE world. We're going to have a track for services and one for commodities. The other thing that we're doing that's kind of unique is, you know, there's more and more women veterans these days.
Yep.
And more women are starting small businesses. And we now have the new set-aside program for women-owned small businesses. So one afternoon, we're devoting a whole track to issues of women-owned businesses. And we've got some real powerhouse folks coming in. We've got Donna McAltier, who wrote a book called Porcelain on Steel, which mm-hmm. are the stories of women veterans of graduates of West Point and what they've gone on to do. And one of the folks that she highlights in the book is a dear friend of all of ours, Dawn Halfacre. And Dawn is coming out and is going to be part of our panel with Heidi Gerding, who is a Naval Academy grad. And we've got Bridget Bean coming out from SBA to talk about the Women Veteran Program. So we've got some really dynamic speakers that are going to come out and talk specific women issues that we're really excited about.
Cool.
So we think that we've put together a pretty darn good agenda. We've got about, right now, we've got 300 people that have signed up for the conference to mm-hmm. come, which we're thrilled about because that's...
Let's mention the date. It's June 27th through 30th in Reno.
You can
sign up at the website that I have here is veteranstrainingsymposium.com.
That's it.
Not national.
I'm
veteranstrainingsymposium.com. And you can also find it at nvsbc.org.
Correct. That's our coalition that's actually hosting the conference. The other thing that we're doing is we're going to present awards to federal agencies and prime contractors that made the 3% goal, because we think it's important that we not just criticize people for not doing enough, but we really recognize those agencies. And we've got some full agencies on the civilian side, and we have some major commands, the Department of Defense. One of the speakers that we've got coming out is Andre Gruder, who's the new OSD small business person, who's going to come out and talk about what OSD's plans are for improving what they're doing with service-disabled vets and veterans. We've got Tom Lenny from the Department of Veterans Affairs that's going to come out and talk two hot issues in the veteran community right now. One is verification and the process that VA puts people through to be verified under the Veterans First program at VA. And he's also going to talk the Mentor Protege program, which is relatively new at VA. Last year was the first year. Based on that experience, they're going to make some changes to the program. So we're real excited about having Tom come out and talk about what his vision is. And he, new guy on the block, he's been on the job now about 2 months, getting his feet wet, and has some interesting ideas as to how to improve VA's OSDBU's office performance and service to the veteran business community.
I'm just scrolling through your speakers here as we're chatting, and you've got a heck of a lineup. It's 4 days, oh, lots of info. But let's get back to something we mentioned in the previous segment. The other reason to be here is networking.
Networking, no question. You're going to have an opportunity at this conference to learn from very successful veteran business owners. Tony Jimenez from Microtech, Troy Mizell from Avcare, Heidi Gerding from High Tech Services, people who have been where new startup veteran businesses are,
right,
who are going to share some of their horror stories, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
And you're also going to have an opportunity to network with potential customers, both prime contractors and federal agencies. Not only that, you're going to have an opportunity to talk to other veterans that are interested in teaming and networking and partnering. So we think we've done a pretty good job of putting together a really dynamic presentation with great speakers that really know their stuff. One of the nice things about this conference is, since it's not government run, we don't have to be politically correct, so to speak.
Well, yeah, I've noticed some other conferences where the speakers are all from government agencies and they have no experience in the field.
Right.
You know, when you're talking about marketing to the government, a government person who hasn't been in the field should not be the speaker.
Agree. And that's why we work real hard to find people that are truly experts in their field.
Well, yeah, and, you know, little things like if you want some legal advice, Pam Mazza is going to be there. And Pam's been doing this for just a few years now.
Yes.
So, you know, networking with somebody who can give you some legal advice and not charge $500 an hour is a good thing.
Agree.
So, agree. The lineup is just absolutely great. You know, top to bottom. This is cool stuff. And there's our buddy Dan Sturtevant.
Yes.
Hey.
And Bob Mitchell is one of the speakers, too.
Yep. Kendra.
Turner from GSA.
Yep. She's great. I'm speaking with her in, next week or so somewhere. this is good stuff. So is it 4 or 5 days in Reno?
It's 4 days. It's Monday through Thursday.
Okay.
The other beauty of Reno is that it's much cheaper than Vegas and much cooler.
Well, that two huge pluses. And that allows you to keep your costs down as well for the attenders.
A vet can come to this conference for $275.
Wow. All right. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Business is a journey. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. It takes work. It takes perseverance. But that's the beauty of being a veteran, or those are qualities and traits that most of us have inherently from military service. So there's great synergies between being a veteran, serving your country, and now going off and being a veteran business owner and serving your country again by doing work with the federal government. Excuse me. There's a number of resources that we mentioned before that are available to help you. I don't think we mentioned the PTACs, the Procurement Technical Assistance Centers. Where
we did not.
If your focus is going to be the federal market, great, great people all over the country who can who will provide you advice for free. You come to me, I'm going to charge you.
Yep. Yeah, you and me both. Scott, it's been a pleasure, man. I'd suggest to all of our listeners, veteran-owned businesses, those who want to start businesses, or primes looking for good partners, go to veteranstrainingsymposium.com and get out to Reno on June 27 to 30. Scott, thanks.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Mark.
This is not my day job. If you need